I'm going to, as we start our second session, I'm going to ask Pastor Wayne if he will read our key verse.
Philippians 2, 3 through 5. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus.
All right, thank you, Wayne. Again, we want to do nothing from selfish ambition, but put our spouse's desires above our own. All right, we're going to look briefly, and my plans are to be through in 30 minutes, so that will be 10 o'clock, and then we'll send you to your rooms for your homework, which will be to apply this session. So, is that a dangerous thing to do?
Is this
isn't the sex talk. That is Saturday morning, Wayne. That's it. All right. Practice makes perfect. All right, I know. Okay. All right, well, I guess if that's your love language, what can I say? All right, here we go. Some reason that's not in the group. All right, imagine this situation. Imagine there are these two people that are married. One is from China, a Chinese. The other is an American. The American speaks absolutely no Chinese. And the Chinese speaks absolutely no English. And so imagine what it would be like for them. He wants to know when he gets home what time we're going to eat supper. So what does he do? Points to his watch, maybe does the eating motion to get the idea across. What time are we eating supper? Imagine what it would do if he was wanting to know what we're going to have for supper. How would he go about signing that? And how would she sign back what it's going to be? Fish, some fish in motion or whatever. All right, imagine if, all right, don't go there. All right, imagine, all right, imagine if she wanted instructions on how to get to Cumberland Mall. All right, how would you go about getting those instructions if you didn't speak any Chinese and she didn't speak any English? All right, you say that's ridiculous. They'd never get married to start off with. Probably so. But you know what does happen is we marry people and we don't speak their love language. And so you got two people married, neither one speaks the other one's love language, and therefore they go through their lives never really feeling loved by their spouse. Now, there are basically five different love languages that we speak. You speak the one that is your primary language. You feel the most loved when somebody speaks your primary language back to you. Your tendency is to speak your language, the one that makes you feel loved. It's your natural tendency to speak that language. Let me give you some examples. A husband stops off on the way home from work at the florist. He picks up some beautiful flowers. So he goes home. He's excited about giving his wife the flowers, and he has them behind his back, and he comes in, and she's in the kitchen fixing, and he says, "Look, honey, what I brought you." She looks at him and says, "We can't afford those. Go get ready. Supper will be ready in 10 minutes. Now, how does he feel? Right? How does she feel? Second example. All right, the wife comes in there, sitting there on Friday night at supper, and she says, "Honey, I got a surprise. I've rented us a cabin up in Pigeon Forge for tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday night. Or tomorrow night, Sunday night. We can go and get away for the whole weekend." He says, "I can't go. I plan to cut the grass, I'm going to trim the hedges, I got some work I need to do in my shed, maybe another weekend we can go." Now, how does she feel? How does he feel? And then they're sitting there, another couple, sitting at supper again on Friday night. And she says, you know, it looks like the yard needs some work done to it. And he just listens, but doesn't say anything. Next morning, first thing out Saturday morning, he's out there cutting the grass, trimming the hedges, fixing the flower bed. He goes to Home Depot, gets some mulch, puts everything. Man, he spends all day out there just getting the yard looking great. And then he comes in about 5:30 and says, hey, honey, come look at the yard. And she goes out and she looks at it and she says, well, you took all day to do that, didn't you? I thought we were going to spend the day together. Instead, you spend it all out there in the yard. Now, how does he feel? Dave comes home from work. His wife's sitting on the sofa saying, hey, Dave, come over here, fix some coffee, and let's sit down and talk. He says, sure, honey, I'd love to. Let me go change first. So Dave gets back there to change, and he notices that there are some clothes that have been washed that were still on the bed. So he said, I'll take a moment and put these clothes up. And so he folds them and puts them up in the drawer. And then he notices that the trash can, you know, needs emptying. And then so he goes and he empties the trash. And as he comes back to put the trash can down, he notices that the light bulb is out in the closet. And so he goes and gets a light bulb and he finishes, puts it in there. And then about 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, he comes in, he sits down and said, oh, okay, now let's have that coffee. She says, I don't want to anymore. Now, what happened? What did Dave do wrong? All right, they were not speaking each other's language of love. All right, now let's look at the languages of love for a moment. And you try to identify which one is your primary one. And then you try to identify which one is your spouse's primary one. Okay? Now the problem wasn't these people, they loved each other. It's just they didn't know how to speak it. So the other one would feel loved. Now this same thing works for your children. If you have children or grandchildren, Ross Campbell, a Christian psychiatrist, lived in Chattanooga, wrote a book, How to Really Love Your Child. And he basically said all parents love their children, but not all children feel loved. And he said the reason is because you basically need to speak their love language. They have an emotional tank, and you need to fill that tank. And one of the things, usually these love languages are part of filling that emotional tank. And so figure it out about your own kids. You know, your kid may have encouraging words, but if you're sitting there trying to go out and play a game with them and they're wanting encouraging words, they're never satisfied because you're not giving them what they need to fill their tank. All right, that's the first one, encouraging words. Now, God speaks all of these languages. And the truth is, during our engagement stage, we tend to speak all of them to each other. See, that's what hooks us. They speak our love language in the engagement stage, the dating stage, and we assume they're going to speak it when we get married, but then as soon as we get married, things switch, and you go back to just speaking yours, all right? Like encouraging words when people date, all right? I mean, when Terry and I were dating, I would, as romantic as I am, I would get a piece of wood, and I had one of these kind of hot irons, and I would actually burn poetry into that wood. Or I had these little extra leftover towels like you use in the bathroom, your little old bitty square towels. And so I would spell out, I love you, and stick it on the, you know, just speaking that kind. Have I made one since we got married? No. But, you know, in the dating stage.
My goodness.
That's right. Thank goodness. Hang this up, honey. Okay. All right. God, his word is filled with encouraging words in Scripture. He encourages us all the time. Now, one way that if someone has encouraging words, that they build other people up. I mean, they're the ones that send notes. They send cards to people. I mean, you know, you get these people and you think, man, they sent me a card. They thought about me. You know, and they're always building people up. They're encouraging people. You like to be around them because they, you know, they encourage you. They say good things. They make you feel good about yourself. Now, the man who spent all day in the yard, his love language was encouraging words. He was doing all of that work because he wanted his wife to say, man, you did a great job out here. Man, you spent all day and it looks great. Our yard looks better than anybody in the neighborhood. That's what he wanted. But instead, she just said, man, you spent all day out here. I wanted us to spend time together. See, her language of love was physical touch and closeness. So she wanted to be close or quality time, and he was out in the yard. All right, so speaking love language. And again, you can speak, and you must choose to speak your partner's language of love. That's what it's all about. Not you looking at them and saying, hey, you need to speak mine. But you need to speak theirs consciously. And it won't be natural because very few couples have the same language of love as their primary one. Now, you may, and if you do, consider yourself very fortunate. But you probably won't. Second one is acts of service. The Bible says love indeed, not just in act and talk. So a person who has acts of service, they love to do things to help other people. They'll be the ones that they come over your house to eat. They'll be in there cleaning up the kitchen. So as you get, let me help you with the dishes. Let me go in there and help you with the kitchen. You know, they are the ones that will be cleaning up after the social at church. They'll be in there putting up stuff, helping clean up. This is the way they speak their love language. The guy who was putting away the laundry and emptying the trash and changing out the light bulb, that was his language of love. He expressed his love by doing things for his wife. But that wasn't her language of love, so she didn't appreciate that. She didn't feel that love. So the third one is quality time. That's where you invest yourself in other people. You spend time listening to them. You connect with them. You just spend the time together where you're really enjoying each other's company, right? They enjoy just being with people. Jesus and his disciples on the road to Emmaus, remember they said our hearts burned within us while he talked. So a person who has quality time, they like people to be with them. They like people to talk to them. Dave's language of love was act of service. He was the one that was putting up the laundry. His wife's was quality time. She just wanted him to sit on the sofa and talk to her. Just spend quality time with her. That would have made her feel so loved. But they missed each other. So quality time. You like just being with a person, spending time. The wife who wanted to go off on the weekend with the mountain retreat, quality time was her language of love. She wanted to get away with her husband. What was his? Act of service. He wanted to go out and do the yard, fix the gutters, clean all this out. That was what he had planned to do. They'd missed. He should have said, honey, you know, I was going to clean the gutters, work in the yard, but I think I'll just love going with you. Let's get away. I'd love to be with you this weekend. I can do the gutters next weekend. See how that would have better connected? And then physical touch and closeness. Some people express their love by touch, closeness, a hug. These are the huggers. And every time you get around them, they want to hug. You know, and they just, that's the way they feel loved. They just hug. You know, my family asks about me and my big bear hugs. You know, I just give them bear hugs. And that's just the way I love my kids. And, you know, and the boys, they're not too old to be hugged by dad, man. I pick them up off the floor and shake them and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's just the way, to me, that's feeling loved. You know, so the problem is one spouse wants to hold their hand because their love language is physical touch and closeness. So basically they say to their spouse, hey, you know, hold my hand. Well, the spouse's love language is encouraging words. She says, write me a note. You know, so hey, whoop, you know, we miss. All right. And someone whose love language is not physical touch and closeness, they don't even think about reaching out and grabbing your hand. They don't even think about holding your hand. It just doesn't cross their mind at all. Whereas a guy or a gal whose love language is physical touch and closeness, they're thinking, why didn't my spouse ever just take my hand? Why don't they ever just come up and give me a hug? Why am I always the one that has to go up and take their hand? Why am I always the one that has to give them a hug? Well, because that's your love language, and they're not thinking along those lines. Now, the gift giving, the guy that brought the flowers home, his language of love was gift giving. It doesn't have to be a big gift. They just love to give things. You know, You know, and I think something about being a grandparent turns grandparents into these gift givers. They always want to give stuff to the grandkids. Have you noticed that, grandparents? I mean, you might not give your kids a single thing, but buddy, those grandkids get it all, right? You can't give them enough. So somebody being a grandparent brings out that gift to give him. But normally, just I have a son-in-law that's this way. Now, nobody in my family is a gift giver. Nobody in our immediate family. I mean, what we do at Christmas, we give the money. You go get the gift, right? You can spend that anywhere. People who are gift givers think that's the worst thing. I can't believe you don't do anything but give them some money. You mean you don't go out and pick out the gift? Nope. Give them the money. How do you get gifts for 20 grandchildren? We give the money to the parents and say, you go buy it and tell them it's from us, right? That's the way you do it. Gift givers think that's the most unloving, crazy thing they ever heard, right? But we do not have any in our whole family, which is good for our immediate family. But we got a son-in-law that's a gift giver. I mean, just give him a pack of gum, he gets excited. You thought about me, you got me that gum. So anyway, speak the love language. Identify the love language of your spouse, and then you choose to speak it. That's the key. You want them to feel loved. You love them. Now, you want them to feel loved. Now, the first retreat, we went over these love languages, but we didn't spend really a lot of time. And so I think the personality traits got what was what we remembered. But so I want us to really concentrate on speaking the love languages. See, if you will find out, and what we're going to give you an opportunity is to go and jot down your what you feel like your love languages are, if you look at the work, and then we want you to jot down what you think your spouse's love languages are in order. Okay? I've listed them there for you. And then after you've done that, then we want you to get together and compare your notes and see how well you recognize the other person's love language. All right? And then we want you to choose to speak their love language. What will you do tomorrow to speak their love language? If their love language is encouraging words, you think about, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow that will speak their love language of encouraging words?
Jared's.
What's that? Jared's. Jared's? There you go. Or, if it's gift-giving, all right, what's something you can do? All right, so what we want you to do is take time thinking about the different love languages, how you can speak your spouse's love language, so they will feel your love. Okay? Now, any questions about the love languages? I think it's interesting. They probably coincide some with spiritual gifts. Like people that whose love language is act of service, probably they have the spiritual gift of service. A lot of times it is parallel. Same thing about spiritual gift of giving. That could as well coincide to a spiritual gift. Although sometimes people have the spiritual gift of giving, enjoy giving, but they don't enjoy receiving that much. So it might not be exactly the same. All right, questions? Do you understand the assignment? Have I made it clear? All right. And this is food for discussion. Don't say, that's not your love language. I can't believe you think that's your love language. No. You're an expert on your own, not on theirs, okay? You can speak authoritatively on what your love language is, but just accept what they say theirs is, all right? And you might ask, hey, that's great. What can I do? How can I show you this? What's some things I can do if your love language is encouraging words? What's some things I can do if it's physical touch and closeness? You know, just share with me some things that would make you feel loved. You know, and it's probably they've not done things because they've not been speaking it, so you probably won't have trouble coming up with, you know, honey, if you just come over and sit by me while we're watching TV and just take my hand, you know, I'd really feel loved. If you just unload the dishwasher for me tonight. You know, Terry's is acts of service, right? So when I do something for her that she normally has to do, like unload the dishwasher, right? No biggie. But she feels loved when I do that, right? And so when I realize in her acts of service, if I can do something that she normally has to do, but I'm relieving her of having to do that, then that makes her feel loved, right? Now, I'm bad about saying, hey, did you see I spoke your language of love earlier? Did you get that? If you won't speak mine, I'm all right. No. Yeah, it takes some of the joy out of it if you remind them. Okay, so anyway, all right. Any more questions? I know questions start off with where they. Okay, everybody sleepy? All right, this is your homework assignment. Before you turn out the lights, try to work on this a little bit anyway, okay? And then tomorrow morning, come back ready to go because we're going to hit it fast pace. And then we'll leave you, give you some time tomorrow afternoon to put some of the stuff into practice. Enjoy yourselves. All right, any thoughts, comments, anything we need to, anything, housekeeping?
Breakfast starts at 7, first session's at 9 o'clock.
All right, let's have a word of prayer and we will head out for the night. Lord, we do thank you that we can come together. I pray you'll give us a good rest tonight, that it will be a time of refreshing, that we can come back tomorrow refreshed and ready to see what you would say to us as we seek to be like you in our marriages. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Mm-hmm.